This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is hour three. Some quick news. Tehran in Iran pays its first import order with crypto. Iran has placed its first international import order using $10 million worth of cryptocurrency. Iran's Deputy Minister of Industry, Mine and Trade said that by the end of September, the use of cryptos and smart contracts will be widely used in foreign trade with target countries. In 2019, the government amended laws to allow locally mined crypto for import payments. So in this way, they can bypass the U.S. sanctions that have indeed crippled the economy for decades. And it's just fascinating to see how this whole crypto blockchain smart contract thing plays out. Indeed, it does help people, but I'm just worrying about the end game, where it's going to take us. And here's a report again related to Canada. I mean, this is old news for those of us paying attention. We saw this in 2020, but COVID measures caused a number of family-run small businesses in Canada to plummet. Federal report shows. You don't need no federal report to tell you this. You just read, you know, you just watch the WEF meetings and read Klaus Schwab's books and just look around to the consequences of the government's actions over the last 2 years. You don't got to pay any government functionary to write a report on this. So it talks about the number of family-run small businesses across Canada plummeted. Since the last iteration of this survey in 2017, there has been a substantial decline in the percentage of small and medium-sized enterprises owned by members of the same family. Since the first lockdown in March 2020, Canada has lost 62% of its small businesses owned and operated by married couples or individuals belonging to the same family. How do you like them apples? Thank you, Cobra Commander Klaus Schwab. A drought officially declared in several parts of England. The UK government has officially declared a drought following months of record low rainfall. And something really, I mean, there definitely is a drought. You can see it. Like in one of my homes of Mexico, well, we have the rainy season, but it is pretty dry. And here in Croatia, I've been here for, I think, over a month now. I don't even know. There's only been one day of rain. Super dry. And so I don't know what's going on, but we do have, you know, the whole geoengineering thing. Check out Jim Lee, climateviewer.com, who I had on TNT last week. Very fascinating stuff. Arizona is going to build its own wall. It's frustrated over Biden's inaction on the border crisis. Just be careful, though, because that wall may not be to keep Mexicans out. It may be to keep Americans in. So Arizona is moving forward with its portion of the wall. Maybe when Trump comes back into power, he'll finish the wall. And what is going on? Canada's chief public health Nazi Tam says plans are underway to sift through Canadian sewage to test for and measure new health threats like monkeypox and polio. So they'll be looking through your poop to see if there's some monkeypox down there, and then if they could declare a new biosecurity emergency and lock you in your home and destroy your livelihood and small business and your marriage and your relationship with your kids and your neighbors, and it just never ends, this stuff. All right, let me just, Best Buy is cutting hundreds of store jobs as well, you know, because everyone's just buying from Jeff Bezos on Amazon. And Zelensky is trying to stop leaks coming from his government. And just to remind you also that if you've got a suggestion for a guest or host you'd like on TNT or a topic, you can let us know. Just fill out the form on tntradio.live or email the individual presenters. My email is hrvojmorić@tntradio.live. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Real talk when you need it most.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's hour three, and I'm joined by Wheezy, Mr. Wheezy, somewhere out in Ron DeSantisville, Florida. He is the host of the What Is Truth podcast, which you can find on many different platforms, although primarily in terms of the video, on Odyssey, which is the big one. I think he was knocked off of YouTube, but you can find him on Twitter as well, at What Truth Pod, as well as at Wheezy, that's W-E-E-Z-Y, Truth. What's happening?
Mr. Eriove, it's a pleasure to be back with you. You exquisite young man, you. ¿Cómo estás? How you been?
Bien, just hanging in there, you know. Since you mentioned hanging in there, I guess the top thing on my mind, since I'm speaking to a Mexican American, from one American Mexican to Mexican American yourself, crazy though what's happening in Mexico, man. It's like I just escaped, you know. I just been reading the last month, so I'm in Guadalajara, Jalisco. So we just had this week. Was it last week? There was a shooting. They shot at some government official that happened to be visiting. Literally like 1 minute, 2 minutes from my home. And I'm like, and it's somewhere where we take our kids. It's on the way to this park, just 2 minutes from our home. And there was like, I don't think they killed the guy, but, you know, a bullet flew by, you know. So, you know, it could have been a day where we were out and the bullet struck one of us. And so there's that. And then there were narco blockades. Just like 2 days ago in Guadalajara, like a scene out of Batman where they burned a couple of buses, public, you know, public buses. And then I'm telling that to my friend in Mexico. I'm asking, how are things? And then he's like, oh, there's a new alert just now. And the south of Mexico, police forces are running down there. There's like another in the south of Guadalajara. There's another, you know, thing going on. So it's just... It's not good. It's not you know, in Mexico, it's not as bad as they say, but it's not so good. I don't know if you have much contact with Mexico or Mexican Americans and talk about this.
Yeah, I have family down there. You know, I was lucky. I was born over here, but I still have family down there, and. In the rural areas, it's, you know, life is a lot different. Just like, I guess, anywhere else, you know. You go to the big cities, that's where all hell seems to break loose. You go to the rural towns and life is a lot more calmer. And this is the same is true over here in the States, you know. It's the big cities going into chaos and pandemonium. And I live in a small town here in Florida. And it's like nothing ever happened. So... I guess it's just that big city disease, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is a definite, like, principle, as you just laid out. You can apply anywhere globally, pretty much, where it's urban versus rural. Well, generally. So if you're talking about U.S. or even here where I am in Croatia, which has such a small population, yeah, that's the same principle. Although even I think in certain rural parts of Mexico and maybe some other countries, you do still have problems because that's where some of the criminals are congregated. No.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, just to get. So you had an interesting comment. I like some of your commentary, and I wanted to ask you about, because you're down in Florida where right now where some of the big stuff is going on as well. Yeah. And you I like sort of destroying the left-right paradigm. And you said, I see people defending Hillary. I see people defending Trump. The cognitive dissonance from both camps is rather amusing. And I'm at a point where could you say apolitical? I don't see how people can still see, have faith in these parties. I'm finding more and more politicians are opportunists. How do you sort of see the left-right divide and the political parties?
Yeah, it's once you snap out of it, I think the hardest thing for people, a lot of people are very partisan, very hardcore left, very hardcore right, and they view things through a lens that the other side is the one doing bad, but their side never does anything bad. And that blinds you to the dirty things that your own side does. And so once I was able to break out of that, I look at things differently. I look at people on the left. I look at people on the right that are so loyal to their parties. And I mean, I just have to roll my eyes, man. I live in a very, very Trump loving county here in Florida. And every Friday, in a street corner by Muhammad Atta's house, these, Trump fans, Trump every Friday. Weirdly enough, today on my drive home, I did not see them. I don't know if the news of the Trump raid depressed them and they didn't come out today. But yeah, it's really fascinating. And then, you see the people that love Hillary and point to Trump, Trump and Epstein and blah, blah, blah. And then you see the Trump people saying, oh, well, Bill Clinton was on the plane 28 times. Both sides had Epstein ties. And that's, it's comical. It's like they're choosing one, the lesser of two evils. I don't know what the thought process of that is anymore. It's just comical to see it from afar.
Yeah, there's that photo I always reference where you've got Donald hanging out with Hillary and I don't know if it was all at the same event or separately hanging out with like George Bush. And it's like George Carlin, the hilarious comedian, said, it's one big club and you ain't in it.
We ain't in it.
And it's...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah, did you see that video clip in 2009 of Trump lauding Hillary? She would be the greatest president, and the best female president ever to be elected, giving her glory. I mean, I look at it now as like a big old wrestling match. You get these two villains that act like they hate each other and they want to toss each other, just beat each other up. And then after the wrestling match, there you can see them at Denny's, having some breakfast and laughing about how great of a performance they threw out. Everyone was pumped up when he took out that slogan, lock her up, lock her up. And after he got elected, they were chanting that. And I remember him saying, oh, that was just campaign talk. He straight up admitted it was just campaign talk.
Yeah, it really feels I always get confused. WEF, WWF.
Yeah, I think they changed it now. ECW.
No, World Economic Forum, WEF and WWF. But yeah, it really feels like that. We're going to take a quick break, Mr. Wheezy. The podcast is What Is Truth Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at WhatTruthPod as well as at Wheezy Truth. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Christina Borgeson.
So you wrote quite the report. Basically, it's about assessing the WHO's candidacy as an authoritative global public health organization. What I thought was quite brilliant is you started very simply. Here's their constitution, And here's how they say they're going to handle pandemics.
So what I did is I pulled out the evidence from a very long document that the WHO has published in 2019, and in which they say they don't really recommend lockdowns. They actually, the word lockdown didn't exist prior to the pandemic. Lockdowns is a term used in prisons, and it's used to stop riots in prisons. So you don't lock down healthy populations, okay? You quarantine sick people to prevent the spread of a specific disease, but you don't lock down populations. They did not recommend school closures, did not recommend testing and contact tracing for an infectious disease that spreads in the air, because there is no point in that. They did not recommend mask wearing.
Christina Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in reason.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk, this is TNT Radio.
And we're back with Sleazy Wheezy. Just kidding, he's not sleazy, it just rhymes. He's the host of What is Truth podcast, which you can find out there on the podcast ecosystem, especially on Odyssey, and find him on Twitter at WhatTruthPod. And the other account is at Wheezy Truth. He does live streams, which are fun. Actually, you recently interviewed our very TNT's very own Misty Winston. So that was pretty cool. And now you're on TNT. You've also interviewed me. So that's two of the TNT presenters. So maybe you'll have to keep interviewing other TNT.
Yeah, let's see if I can get a few more.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
You're going to join me on YouTube tomorrow, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, on my What is Truth live streams on YouTube. And we should have fun. We're going to.
Yeah, to
should have a blast.
Look at some news. And I'll never get your further thoughts on, because you're at ground zero of Florida with all this Trump stuff. And I'm reading now from Daily Caller. You have a former CIA director as well as an MSNBC contributor appearing to suggest that former Trump should be executed over nuclear documents. An MSNBC contributor tweeted a photograph of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, the two Americans who were convicted of conspiring to hand over U.S. atomic secrets to the Soviet Union and were executed in 1953. So, I mean, them saying, oh, these guys were convicted and executed, it's kind of alluding to Trump. So, I mean, there's a lot of this craziness, but as well, we've had that raid down in Florida. I'm guessing Floridians are going out and about regarding their business, but still, is it on people's minds down there?
Well, like I said, you know, every Friday, whether it rains or not, there's a little corner when I go home where I want to say about a dozen, maybe more, folks line up at a street corner with, you know, pro-Trump. And today they weren't there. So I was actually pretty surprised. I'm used
maybe
to
they're scared
on my way home.
Maybe they're scared no they're going to get raided.
Put on the watch list. Yeah, I don't know. I just get this feeling that it's more political theater. In my opinion, you know, a lot of people, especially the people that love Trump, say, oh, the media hated Trump. The media hated Trump. I don't know about that. I think the media love Trump. You got Biden now. He's boring. No one cares when he speaks. They just make fun of him. And when Trump was there, you know, all these channels that reported on him, whether they liked him or not, it was getting a lot of reviews, you know, great, great ratings. A very good, if you want divide and conquer, that's the perfect man you want for the job. I mean, you're going to have the people that really, really love him. You're going to have people that really, really hate him. So I smell more political theater, you know, a brewing. I don't know. I just have this weird feeling that it's just more show that's really put on. You know, but what's that?
Just what you said, I couldn't believe, though, that there are these people that go out. I mean, that's very like cult-like. I mean, you couldn't get, yeah, I don't think you could get me out to go every weekend. You know, maybe once for a rally. I know during COVID 1984 in Guadalajara, every week, I think it was on a Saturday, there were people kind of gathering to protest COVID 1984. You know, the tyranny, and, you know, that's something maybe I would participate in, because you're protesting total tyranny. That makes sense. But just to support a politician every weekend, that's a stretch.
Every weekend. It doesn't matter if it rained or not. They were out there. At least 12 of them, if not more. You know, I've seen upwards of around 30 folks. They get their lawn chairs and they hang out there at the street corner for about 3 hours, you know, with varying different signs. F Brandon, you know, let's go Brandon, Trump 2024, you know, just hardcore Trumpers. And today was like a ghost town in that corner. They didn't come out. It was actually pretty surprising. But yeah, I definitely agree. It's almost like a cultic type behavior, you know. It's like almost like a messiah for them and for some of these people. I don't fully understand it, man. I just can't get in that mindset.
And the IRS agent thing too, as well. I mean, 87,000 IRS agents. Yes. This is clear, like, they're coming for average working class Americans. Yeah. I mean, are you even freaked out about that?
Well, 87,000 people? I mean, that's insane. You know, that's bigger than most towns across the country. You know, geez. And you know, we're already in dire straits, you know, with the money we're sending to Ukraine and spending money here and spending money there. And then we're going to hire 87,000 people. I don't even, what's the budget? What's the numbers on that? It's definitely not going to be cheap, you know? Just clown world. Did you did you see the news earlier in the week? And it kind of got drowned out with all the, you know, the, especially with the Trump raid and whatnot. But Prince Charles, you know, across the pond, I guess his charity got into some scandalous stuff, you know, with the Saudis, getting some Saudi money, apparently with £1 million in a suitcase, allegedly.
From the Bin Laden.
£1 million in a suitcase. What's that?
It was from the Bin Ladens, actually.
Osama Bin Laden. But it's all right because they denounced him. You know, that makes it okay.
It's okay for the elites to get, you know, donations from the Bin Ladens and Nancy Pelosi's husband to do insider trading on NVIDIA graphics cards, you know, right before she's going to visit the semiconductor companies in Taiwan and pass this bill on NVIDIA cards. They, you know, and yeah, you know, Prince Charles can get Bin Laden money and but we, you know, if you get $20 on Venmo or whatever from a friend, boom, IRS agent at your door.
Yeah. Pay up, sucker. Yeah, it's funny. I, a couple of days ago, you know, for my work, I was in Prestonsia in Sarasota County. It's a luxury $1 million neighborhood, you know, gated community neighborhood. And I drove past, I took a quick little video of where the royal Saudis that lived there that were the ones financing Mohammed Atta and his cohorts out here in Florida. And every time I go there, I get this weird, creepy feeling, man, because I know that's where a lot of the evil stuff was masterminded. You know, this royal Saudi family, about a month before 9/11, they fled the country, left their cars in the house, just packed a couple of bags and just took off. And the Saudis have never, ever been held accountable. I mean, the Saudi fingerprints on 9/11 are all over and clear as day. And to this day, they've never been held accountable. And, you know, the way they've been acting, you know, with the oil, with Biden, making Biden beg them, you know, it's like they can do whatever they please as they please. And no one's going to do anything about it. And the media never talks about it. That's the most, head scratching thing. But I guess it's not head scratching when you realize it's all controlled.
The power structure, they've got God mode. And speaking of 9/11, just today I messaged, see if I can get her on. I think you may have mentioned her before, or someone else, Dr. Judy Wood, that has that theory on 9/11. And we'll see if I can get her on. We're going to take a quick news break. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Indian traders have reportedly been settling payments for Russian coal in an effort to skirt Western sanctions imposed on Moscow in recent months in response to its latest war with Ukraine. American solar energy companies are having difficulty complying with a law that went into effect in June, requiring importers to prove their goods are not tainted with slave labor from the oppressed Uyghur Muslims of China's Xinjiang province.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Yeah, and just, you know, we're chatting about Trump and then get your thought maybe on Pelosi and the Bidens, and Hunter Biden just accompanied Biden, his dad, Joe, on a trip. And I mean, is there anyone still in the U.S. who likes the Bidens or the Pelosis?
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen those pictures of the different Bidens. That is creepy. You've got one Biden that looks kind of like the original Biden, and then you got another creepy looking guy that has got the big old starry eyes. You know, either he's really drugged up or it's a body double, you know, and you hear their voice, even the tone of voice, they sound similar, but it also sounds different. It's kind of a little brain tease. what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely see it as a possibility. The only problem is you can't, there's no way you can verify it. You know what I'm saying? Like we talk about all these different topics. You talk about 9/11, you know, there are different extents to which you can prove these things. You know, you've got these architects and engineers for 9/11, 3,000, you know, scientists, engineers, architects. They've examined the stuff. They found military grade nanothermite, World Trade Center 7. Like that's clear.
Insider trading.
It was a demolition. We can figure that out. All these different topics. But when it comes to what he just mentioned about Biden not actually being Biden, you can't, there's no way, you know, there's no document, there's no whistleblower, there's no nothing. And there's no way.
I think the only thing we have is that we know for a fact that intelligence agencies, you know, do this kind of stuff all the time, you know, so that,
I mean, it's Mission Impossible. Hard evidence. You know, I grew up watching Mission Impossible. They did it in Mission Impossible. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, the whole Hunter Biden thing is wild, and the lengths that the media has gone to protect, you know, that story from getting bigger than what it should be and what it deserves to be. You know, there's. We obviously know his drug abuse problem, but one of the points that rarely gets brought up is him messing with his underage niece, you know? And there's some very suggestive photos out there. It's not just hearsay anymore. And we all, you know, the texts are out there. It's very, very troubling, but it seems like the media doesn't want to touch that, doesn't want to go down there. And I read this book. I can't remember the name of the book, but it was basically on the, I think that's what the book is called, the Hunter laptop, Hunter Biden laptop. And it's very, very fascinating. It pretty much documents, you know, the whole life story of Hunter Biden and just what a wild, wild individual that he is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe something's going to give soon. We'll see. Maybe the powers that be discard the Bidens and go for someone new. For now, I'm of the opinion that, you know, Hillary is going to be a Hillary and Trump rematch, and I think Trump's going to win. And we'll see what happens there. And I also wanted to sort of get your thoughts on wokeism. And yeah, I'm wondering how much you experience. I haven't been to the U.S. for years, and right now I can't even I can't even go back. I'm prohibited. But because that's the center of this wokeism. You don't experience it so much in other countries, but I read about it all the time. Cancel culture, wokeism, you know, be this stuff about racism and Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and maybe to one extent, I feel like if you're, I guess, a minority, in your case, you'd be Mexican American. Are you like immune? Does it only apply to whites, or how does it work?
Well, I did have a pretty fairly large YouTube channel. A lot of drama going on there, but I got taken down by, I would say, an old man that puts makeup on and calls himself a she, and I got taken down by this person, and this person could say racial slurs about me, all this nonsense, and I simply said, I simply called this person an old man dressed in drag, and I lost my YouTube channel. That wasn't the entire reason, you know, there was more to it, but that was one of the main reasons, you know. And it's just, it almost seems, you know, for the longest time, it seemed like minorities had the leg up on everything. But I think now if you're a man that identifies as a woman, that's the top of the food chain at the moment. And so everyone else can move aside. You know, it's this wokeism is it's like a cult. You know, we talked about the people that stand on those corners, but this wokeism is another cult, you know, from the opposite end of the spectrum. And, you know, you've got judges admonishing Alex Jones, basically telling him that just because you believe it doesn't make it true. And yet that same judge is one of these trans activist, you know, hashtag wokesters. And can you imagine that judge telling that to her trans community? Just because you think it doesn't make it true, you would never hear it. And it's, you know, some more cognitive dissonance. I don't know. The world is going mad, man. It's head scratching. I'm going bonkers by the minute.
I guess, as you said, so, you know, some of this wokeism is racial, right? Targeting, I don't know, whites. And then others, as you said, it's gender. So it doesn't matter what race you are. It's a gender thing. So even you, if you go against it, you could, you know, it could easily blow up in your face.
I'll be the bigot. I'm the bigot, you know. I've been called a Mexican Nazi by these wokesters, apparently.
Really?
But I didn't realize that was such a thing.
Online or in person?
Yeah, online. By the follower, this person has like 10,000 followers on YouTube. And the followers would call me a Mexican Nazi. And it never bothered me. I just laugh. It's one of these issues where people that are uncomfortable in discussing certain hot button or hot topic issues, rather than engage in civil dialogue, civil discussion, what do? They just throw the bigot card. They throw the racist card, the sexism card. They throw all these cards just because they, instead of engaging, and they realize they're going to get destroyed because their arguments don't hold any water. So because their arguments can't hold any water, let's just throw some kind of ism card out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced anything like this so far, but I really don't care. And I feel like at least I'm in a special position where I've mentioned before, I've got three citizenships and technically I'm a minority as a Mexican. So I have my get out of jail free card if it comes to at least the racial aspect. And I also argue, like, if they want to go the white supremacy route, well, I'm a Slav. And according, you know, to the Aryan Nazi white supremacist stuff, Slavs are like degenerates that also deserve to be, you know, gotten rid of. So anyways, I did see something hilarious today. Cosmin Georgia, who's, I think he's actually Romanian, but in Canada, he writes for True North. I've interviewed him on TNT, and he was pointing out how there was a lifeguard ad for the city of Vancouver requiring applicants to be committed to decolonization and equity. And it's just really like, I mean, you're just going to be a lifeguard and just save people from drowning. I don't see where anything else is relevant. Like, if you're just fit and you know how to swim and, you know, trained in emergency medical stuff, that's it. I mean, I don't know if you saw that and what's your thought?
Yeah. It's more in tune with the whole social credit system, you know, in a way. It's like, you know, down the line, if you apply for a job, you know, they're going to check to see if you had a Ukraine flag on your profile pic. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all going to be part of the social credit. You've got to be in tune with the woke agenda. And more of that ESG nonsense getting touted. Yeah, to be a lifeguard. Yeah, that's
I'm glad at TNT we don't have to put in our profiles Ukraine flags yet, or Taiwan flags. That's the next one that's coming, the Taiwan flag.
Yeah.
Replace the Ukraine flag with the Taiwan flag, and then after that, I guess that's the end of the road. I mean, I don't know. China and Russia are
just don't make swastikas out of those flags, and you'll be all right. Did you hear about them?
I think we may have talked about Lawrence Fox out in the actor with the Reclaim Party in UK. He posted a rainbow flag with swastika, and then someone reposted that on Facebook, and they were arrested by the UK police. I think he was released because of that's the whole social credit thing. That's the crazy thing about the social credit. It works both ways, where if you're someone on social media and you have enough social currency, social credit, you can actually use it to get, if you're deplatformed, get taken back or push back. But if you're someone that doesn't have enough social credit, which means social status or followers, then you're kind of basically screwed. You're going to be deplatformed. You're going to be, the sharks are going to get you. So. Yeah, that's crazy. We're gonna take our Wheezy. We're gonna take our second break here
again.
People can check out What Is Truth podcast on all the podcast ecosystem. Find you on Twitter at What Truth Pod, as well as at Wheezy Truth. We'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
We've made a very serious discovery. If you look at CFACT, I published an article on correlation there. I guess it's a blog nowadays. But the serious discovery is there is a direct correlation between the increase in the price of postage stamps and CO2. Obviously, the increase in postage stamps is causing increasing temperatures and increasing CO2. So the solution is get the price of postal stamps down. Here's another ditty. More people get sunburned and melanoma in the summer. More people also eat ice cream cones during the summer. What does this tell you? We've got to get rid of ice cream. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist and ice cream lover Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy your ice cream cone and the weather before someone takes both of them away from you.
One day, my 8-year-old son, Michael, was playing football with his friends in the mud and got an infection that led to sepsis.
Sepsis is your body's toxic response to an infection that can lead to tissue damage to extremities.
They needed to do 2 upper amputations and 2 below the knee.
Sepsis causes an average of 38 amputations per day in the United States. To learn more, go to sepsis.org.
The Great Reinfection.
With thanks to the COVID vaccine.
COVID vaccines are not safe and don't work. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are back on our final stretch with Wheezy, the host of the What Is Truth podcast, which you can find out there, and you can find them on Twitter at What Truth Pod. He's down in Florida in Magaville. I was going to ask you, maybe just to turn to the economy for a moment. James Guzman of Borderless Blog, he's an expat down in Mexico. I chat with him once a week here on TNT, and we were talking about this earlier this week, and he just commented on social media. It's been reported that rent is becoming a crisis in the U.S. Many Americans, he says, Americans are not moving to Mexico because they're rich, but because they can barely afford to live on a regular salary. Rents are increasing like crazy, and all of the other costs of living. How do you sort of assess that situation? Is it just like, do you feel like it's been normal as it has for years, or do you notice sort of that maybe you're spending more than you used to?
Well, yeah, inflation is definitely taking a toll, and it's just it's just crazy when you think that, for example, you know, I live about a mile away from the beach, great neighborhood out here in Florida. If, you know, I'm buying my home, my mortgage is good. It's great. I got a great interest rate on it and whatnot. But if I wanted to rent my property, it would be almost triple what my mortgage is. So if you are someone that hasn't purchased a home or you're in the market, you're in bad shape, you know, and what it doesn't even make sense, you know, where buying a home, you know, your mortgage is going to be pretty cheap, but you rent and you can't afford it. But that's the economy we're living in. And especially out here in Florida, you know, I lived out west. I did real estate for well over a decade. I did it for about 12 years. And you come here in Florida and the amount of foreign investors buying up all the properties here, I get literally 2 to 3 texts a day on my property. And I just have it copied and pasted. You know, my house isn't worth $1 million, not even close. But anytime I get one of these texts, I just copy and paste it, send. I'll sell you the home tonight for $1 million cash. Otherwise, don't call me or don't text me ever again. And but I get these texts a couple of times a day. It's ridiculous. And again, I think there's a lot of them that come from overseas, but especially from China. And I talked to Charlie Robinson a while back, and it seems like this is all part of the plan as well. Buying up, just like Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland, there's probably a plan in motion to buy up all these houses so that you can now, you know, eventually, especially on the bigger cities, have these smart cities, you know, that they're trying to work on. And eventually, no one's going to own anything. Just like they said, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And my heart goes out to any of the youngsters that are just trying to get into just a house. And the way rents are, I don't know how anyone could afford it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's really sad. It's really crazy how I could see that my parents' generation were able to, from zero, I mean, my parents went to the U.S. like in the 80s. They didn't speak English. They went to the U.S. You just start from total, like, level zero, right? And then you just, years and years and decades, you work eventually. My dad's working class, and so you know, then you're able to save money and buy a house and a second house and that sort of thing. And you cannot do that today. Like even me, I'm here in Croatia, and it's like, I got a house in Mexico, but I can't buy a house and, you know, a property in here in Croatia. And let alone I can see here the young people, like my age, a large portion of them in Croatia, they're renting. They can't buy anything. And yeah, this even younger generation now, they're like teenagers today around the world. Good luck. It's like you're not going to be buying a house. I don't know what they'll be living in, one of those containers, RVs. There was a news article.
Those tiny homes. Movement took off because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, or a yurt. I could recommend the Mongolian yurt. or
just do it old school style and just, you know, under a... No, I won't go there. Just under an overpass, hanging out.
Steve St. Angelo, who I've interviewed on TNT, expert in energy and economy, he recently mentioned that you're going to have 2 or 3 families living together. And Wolf Richter of, oh, I forget his website.
They've been doing that in Los Angeles, man, for many years. Because the home prices in Los Angeles have been crazy for well over a decade. It's insane. And so that's what's made a lot of people in California, Los Angeles area. It's not uncommon to see 3-4 families living under the same roof. You know, families renting out entire, you know, one family will be in one room. That's the kind of times we're living in. And it's spreading out because at some point, these, you know, people get excited with real estate because the prices keep going up and they think about making money. But at some point, it gets to a point where no one's going to be able to afford it. And it just can't, it's not sustainable is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad living as families together. That's how for most of human history it's been. In other parts of the world, it's completely normal. I don't think that's a bad thing. It depends, I guess, in the country. But yeah, ideally, you know, if you are a nuclear family, you want to have your own place. But we've got a couple of minutes left. What are some other things that you've been looking at? I know in your podcast you've treated a variety of stuff from the paranormal, did we get on the moon or not? You talked to Misty, you know, Julian Assange type stuff. What else?
I try to talk to anyone and everyone, man. That anyone that's interesting, I try to have good conversations. You and I, we've had two shows, right around 3 hours each. You know, so that's about 6 hours time. And, you know, it was awesome to get you, man. Just interesting people such as yourself. I try to have these conversations. And then I just try to have a just very casual, no script, just laid back, you know, whatever's on our minds. And that's why if you're into the long form podcast, I mean, a 3 hour for me is a quickie. We definitely do long, but and then I cover all kinds of different topics, mostly conspiratorial, but I'll jump into the Bigfoot UFO stuff every now and then just for curiosity's sakes, I guess you can say. I don't shy away from many things, even if I may not agree with it or see eye to eye with the subject. I still like to get other people's perspective on things, and I do call-in shows too, so if anyone wants to call in and share their perspectives, anyone's welcome as well.
You've done a couple shows on JFK, and there's still a lot of people that experts and authors that deal with that subject, but I don't know, for me, I may have had a couple of guests. Well, I think a year or two ago it was especially important because it was related to JFK, RFK, MLK, and Malcolm X. There was some legal aspect, and some of the people involved try to build momentum to push the government to look into this again, but it just failed miserably. I think even Robert Kennedy and others, I interviewed Bill Simpich, who was involved. But for me, it just seems it's been so long. There's really not been any advance. And I'm just not so interested anymore in JFK because we've got COVID, going on. You know, what do you think that about that?
I've had Corey Hughes. You know, I've got a good friendship with him. But as far as JFK researchers, I say he's up there. If you listen to his take, just be forewarned, it is controversial. It could be a little touchy for some people, but that's why I appreciate him, because he goes where other people don't want to go. And the man is an encyclopedia. You can talk about anyone in the JFK time period. He'll tell you their birthday, what they did in what year. Like, he's a former police officer. He was a police officer for almost a decade, I think. And so he uses that same detective work style of research tactics for his JFK research. And so I've got a couple of podcasts on my channel if anyone's interested in the JFK rabbit hole. It's going to be a take that you've never heard before. I will say that.
But for example, it may be interesting to take those that way of analyzing and look at like recent assassinations, Shinzo Abe in Japan, and then really see what you can uncover there. We got probably a minute or a little more than that if you want to tell us about Wheezy. Yeah, there we go. 1 minute left. Your podcast, What is Truth? Where to find you?
First of all, I want to thank you for having me on again. I truly appreciate you. Truly love your content. Just find me on your favorite podcast player, What is Truth Podcast by Wheezy. Odyssey, same thing. And YouTube, What is Truth Live Streams. That's like my fifth channel. And so I try to keep it safe, YouTube friendly there to keep that one alive. I've just been taken down so many times. So I try to be safe, and we'll be having you on tomorrow. So if you guys love my man Elio Web, be sure to tune in tomorrow. We're gonna have a Wheezy's weekend wind up.
30 minutes, just looking at the news. We're out of time. Thank you.
30 minutes,
Wheezy. That's it for me. Keep on listening here at TNT.